is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The South Caucasus, the scene of these last days of reports of the exodus of Armenian settlers in an area called Nagorno-Karabakh. The reports need explanation, and I welcome Ambassador Erin Suleymanov. He is in Baku, the capital of Azerbaijan. He is the ambassador from Azerbaijan to the United Kingdom. And I've enjoyed his interviews on the BBC these last days. Now I have an opportunity to understand what's happening from the American point of view as well, because the South Caucasus are a very distant land that has been involved in turmoil and violence at least a century or more, and was once under the control of the Soviet state that exists no longer. That does not, however, settle the disputes that erupted at the end of the Soviet Union, and Nagorno-Karabakh is one of them. The reports from the region now are promising but require explanation. Reuters, in these last hours, UN team in Nagorno-Karabakh did not see any damage to hospitals, schools. This is Reuters reporting. United Nations team visiting Nagorno-Karabakh in Azerbaijan, this is Azerbaijan territory, did not see any damage to civilian infrastructure such as hospitals, schools, and housing, or to cultural and religious sites. The team on Sunday visited the Karabakh capital, known as Stepankart by Armenia and Kakhendi by Azerbaijan. The visit came weeks after Azerbaijan forces took control of the enclave on its territory populated by ethnic Armenians, triggering an exodus of more than 100,000 Armenians. And now the AP story. The AP story is also complicated, but the ambassador is here to help us understand it. The headline, Azerbaijan moves to reaffirm control of Nagorno-Karabakh as the Armenian exodus slows to a trickle. The last bus carrying ethnic Armenians, goes the copy, left the region Monday, completing a grueling weekend exodus over 100,000 people, more than 80% of its residents. Accompanying this AP story are photographs of Azerbaijan's soldiers on guard, and at the same time a display of the enormous amount of sophisticated weaponry in the hands of the separatists at Nagorno-Karabakh before their exodus. Now, that explanation is inadequate, so I welcome the ambassador to help me. Mr. Ambassador, right now, the AP is reporting that the exodus has slowed to a trickle. The people who have left this area of Nagorno-Karabakh alleged that there were threats to their property, to their families, to their homes by Azerbaijan. You have been on the BBC these last hours and days speaking to that allegation. How do you respond to the allegation that that you are in the capital of a country that means to ethnically cleanse, I believe that's what's being said, ethnically cleanse Nagorno-Karabakh of Armenians? Good day to you, Mr. Ambassador.
Good day, John. Always good to be with you. Thank you for your invitation, as always. John, indeed, a majority of the Armenian residents of the Karabakh region have left. And this is very unfortunate because Azerbaijan from the very beginning, and not just now, it's been always a position of Azerbaijan over the 30 years of conflict, but also right after the war in 2020. Azerbaijan has always insisted that we're offering the local residents of Armenian background to stay and to become a part of Azerbaijan, to become citizens of Azerbaijan with all rights provided. For instance, one of the things now that the government of Azerbaijan is affording the population there, given the fact that this is agricultural economy in many ways, a tax-free regime and support for agriculture activities. I mean, those are one of the small things they're offering. I mean, it's not the full package. And to make it clear, Azerbaijani government yesterday published the full offer and a roadmap and the plans for the integration, which includes municipal authorities, elections, protection of rights, protection of cultural heritage, teaching in their own native language, and things like that. So we have to make sure that we separate the separatist leadership, which have committed war crimes, and the local residents who have nothing to do with this. Unfortunately, that distinction doesn't exist very often, and people often mix those things, especially in the media. But we have to make that distinction. Now, of course, so many people left because they feel insecure, because they feel uncertain. Although I have to say that in the most recent press conference in Yerevan, in capital of Armenia, the representative of UNHCR, High Commission for Refugees from the United Nations, has stated that there were no threats recorded to civilians, and nobody ever complained that they were forced out. So I think that's an important thing to understand. I mean, yes, they feel uncertain. Yes, they understand they don't want to live maybe in the region which has undergone hostilities, military hostilities. But it's also true that Azerbaijani side never forced peaceful civilians out. Also, one of the things which you pointed out in your foreword, which is very important, is the amount of weaponry and arms and landmines which is there. In Azerbaijan, during the latest operation, during the 24 hours operation, lost more than 190 soldiers, plus about 500 wounded. You don't incur such kind of losses when you go against peaceful civilian population. So we have to make a distinction between armed separatists, illegal military formation, including those who were soldiers from Armenia, and the local population. And I think that's a very important distinction. It doesn't serve the interests of the local Armenian community if they're completely identified with paramilitary units.
Mr. Ambassador, the beginning of this story is at the end of the Soviet Union, and it's important to help the audience understand that Nagorno-Karabakh is Azerbaijan's sovereign territory, has always been, and that after the fall of the Soviet Union, there was a ferocious combat between Azerbaijan's remnants and Armenia boosted, or at least apparently supported, by the Central Russian government. And Nagorno-Karabakh was occupied by Armenian soldiers at the end of that conflict and has been occupied by Armenian military units ever since, for 30 years. What has happened now is to reestablish the sovereign territory of Azerbaijan, as I understand it. Have I said all this correct? Will you correct me if I've got any mistakes in there?
I think you said it much better than I could ever say it, John. You're very good and very eloquent. The only thing I would add, which is very important to understand, is that we want to be treated consistently. All we want is to be treated as anybody else. So, for instance, when it comes to separatism in Georgia, Ukraine, or Moldova, the world is very clearly on the side of those nation states. They support them, and the West doesn't only support them. In many cases, as we see in Ukraine, militarily supports Ukraine. But when it comes to Azerbaijan, there's always a doubt. So I always say that, remembering George Orwell saying, look, there's some separatists are more equal than others. And if you look at the situation today, very often, especially in the media, they use the term disputed about the Karabakh region. The reality is that it's never disputed. It clearly belongs to Azerbaijan according to international law. And in fact, no other nation has ever recognized it, including Armenia. And now the Armenian prime minister himself said that the Karabakh region is part of Azerbaijan. So I think that is a very important point you're making. And I think we need to remember that. Now, you also alluded to the support from Russia in early years of occupation. That is also true. And also, of course, Armenia is a part of the Russian military alliance, Russian-led military alliance called CSTO, and hosts Russian military bases on its territory. Now, the complaint now from the Armenians is that Russia did not fight or did not use military force against Azerbaijan within borders of Azerbaijan. I would like to point that out. Within Azerbaijani borders, Russia was supposed to use arms to support Armenia. That is a very exaggerated, very unrealistic expectation, because Azerbaijan never crossed the border of Armenia. So, I mean, that what presupposes the action under the Defense Pact. But in this case, this was a very unrealistic and exaggerated expectation. And now, because Russia didn't do that, acting in a full compliance with international law and its own relationship with Azerbaijan, now they're upset about Russia. While in reality, what should have happened a long time ago, we should have moved towards peace. Azerbaijan and Armenia should sign a peace agreement. And the need for peacekeepers or external support would disappear, because we will become neighbors who trade, who have a diplomatic relationship, and who recognize each other's territorial integrity.
I'm speaking with the ambassador to the United Kingdom from the Republic of Azerbaijan, Elin Suleymanov. We've been speaking at events that have tumbled on these last days. We're going to turn, however, to a very important part of this conversation, which is the displaced persons from Nagorno-Karabakh who've been waiting decades to return to their lands and their homes. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.